Simmons.
No, he's going to penetrate. He sets up Embiid for another jump.
Do I ever? I mean, well, that's news to me.
It's been very rare that either one of us has been aired to that area. Yeah. And Wilson Chandler knocks down the jumper.
DeMarcus Powell.
Yeah, that's the Metallica one. NBA Australia, how you going? That's right, man. Welcome to NBA Australia. It's Tuesday, December 18. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally anyone else who wants to throw money at me. It's just what I do, mate. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA. As we wrap up every day of NBA action while repping Australia a little bit. Also what we do here. So we're talking about a big NBA night today. We had a new James Dolan, the Knicks owner, piece come out talking about his... he's just a weirdo. Anyway, also Taj Gibson defended a shot with a shoe. Who defends a shot with a shoe? There were a bunch of ejections. Steven Adams Boo tried to punch on with Robin Lopez. That was great. Also some really good games. So we'll cover all that with the usual dumbassery of that's not a knife. Old mate, no mate. Spud of the night, and of course, better than Lonzo Ball. There's also the usual dumbassery on the other side, all those evergreen favorites. Yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Turkhouse, where we're serving up some flame grilled turks. It's going to be great fun, trust me. We also pick and preview all the games tomorrow, and because it's Tuesday, we have a new Mark Bradke Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week, and a new Where in the World is Brock Modem? Sure. We'll finish up with a new Jingles HR with Joe Ingles figuring out some NBA HR questions. And it's very important during the holiday season. Nice one. All right, let's get to it. NBA's back. NBA Australia, episode 206. Let's go. The worst of
this. Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Right, you better, or you better watch out for the attack of the flying Blake Griffin, I guess, if you Giannis Antetokounmpo. Or attack of the axe if you're the Phoenix Suns cutting Austin Rivers. That's right, we're starting the day the way we start every episode here in NBA Australia with the daily flip around. That's right, Austin Rivers is going to get waived by the Suns. He obviously, I don't know, do you reckon they just like FaceTime with him and they're like, oh, fuck this guy, you're cut. Austin, you're cut. Your dad's not here. You're cut. Oh, what's this over here? Austin, is it a pair of scissors? Yeah, because you're cut. Austin Rivers, waived by the Suns, so he'll obviously try to glom on somewhere. Some playoff team will try to talk themselves into him. And then he'll just end up back in the Clippers with his dad paying him a bunch of money. Classic. The Thunder picked up the fifth-year option on Billy Donovan's contract. Sure, we'll talk about that in the end. Steven Adams wanted to fight a guy who was talking shit in the Nuggets game last night, which was pretty great and very funny and awesome because Rusty's like, would you just tell this guy to shut the fuck up? And also, who picks a fight with Steven Adams? There's literally like five people like worse in the world. Like he's got a body made of concrete and he's a Kiwi. You kick the fucking shit out of you. Injury news. Mike Conley set out today's game against the Warriors with a hammy, so watch the Grizzlies just fall apart. That's what happened. So let's get in the daily wraps for all of today's eight games. Let's do it. The Detroit Basketball Pistons lost 104-107 to Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland, who, even despite not having King Dally, Matty Dellavedova, still won 107-104. Fun-ass game. Blake Griffin had a quadruple-double because he had 10 turnovers. This is great, man. Also missed two free throws at the end. Two threes, rather. They could have tied it. Missed them both. Rough one for Blake. So he had 19 points, but that came on 4 of 13 shooting. Jesus. 10 rebounds, 11 assists, and 10 turnovers. This is legitimately fucking radical. On you, Blake. Way to go, mate. Oh, just going to turn the ball over a bunch, man. How good's McCommony? Yeah, that was a pretty funny turnover, Blake, you fuckwit. Anyway, Reggie Bullock tossed in 24 points, hit 5 threes. That was pretty neat. 10 and 14 for Andre Drummond. 11 on 11 shots for Reggie Jackson. And Spud Stanley Johnson had 20 as well. Nice. For the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo had 32, 12, and 5 with 6 turnovers. Just a classic Giannis game. Chris O. Middleton had 22 points, 6 assists, and 17 and 9 for Blow Dry Bledsoe. Brook Lopez, he had 5 blocks. And what was it? 3 points? 2 points. Joes. Missed every shot up until very late. Onya Lopez. Tony Snell, our Dark Prince, he had 12 points. He's in the starting lineup now. 9 each for Sterling Brown and DJ Wilson. And our mate, Thon McCurr, made a defensive impact. That's pretty good. We'll talk about him in the Australian Player Watch. Detroit, with that loss, dropped to 14 and 14. Milwaukee are now 20 and 9. Ooh, nice one. Just absolutely smashing it, bro. Just 3 wins behind the Raptors there at the top of the East. Wild. Phoenix went into New York and absolutely shit-pumped the Knicks because they suck. Suns absolutely smashed them in the third. 41 points in the third quarter. That was their highest for a quarter all season. They outscored the Knicks in that one by 24, which matches their biggest quarter-long point differential since November 2014. Gracious. So for the Knicks, no Tim Hardaway the lesser. No hope. 32 points for Manny Moutier. He is on a fucking tear. Had a career high just the other day. Backs it up 32, 6, and 6. 13 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists for Enes the Penis Kanter, and a bunch of shit talking on Twitter between him and Devin Booker, which was pretty good. 17 and 5 for the rookie, Kevo Knox. Went 2 of 7 from 3. Not much else for the Knicks there. Suns, Devo Booker had 23 in the first half. Everyone's like, oh fuck, Devin Booker's on one at MSG, man. He was on a bit of a one, finished with 38. It's pretty fucking good. Speaking of 38, 38-year-old Jamal Crawford. He had a career high in assists today. 14. It took him 19 years to hand out 14 assists in a game. Don't forget, Jamal Crawford was nominally a point guard when he came into the league. That's hilarious. So 6 points, 14 assists for Jamal. That's amazing. On you, mate. Speaking of old-timers, old man Ayton. That's right, he looks like he's 47. But he had a young man's game. 21 points, 13 rebounds, 1 assist was everywhere. TJ Warren chucked in 26 as well. And Josh Pacey Jackson, he had 14, 7, and 3. Yeah, he's just so weirdly up and down though, isn't he? The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City dropped to 9 and 23. Way to tank, Knicks. And the Phoenix Suns are 7 and 24 and have now won 3 in a row for the first time in 652 games. That's wild. Also, unfortunately for the Phoenix Suns, it brings them into a tie with the Cavs and the Bulls for the second worst record in the league behind the Hawks. Phoenix, stop winning, you dickheads. Anyway, elsewhere, Houston hosted the Utah Jazz. I believe it's a soft J. Houston winning 102-97 on a huge three by James Harden with 15 seconds left. Also had himself a fucking game. That might crop up later. For the Jazz, Donovan fucking Mitchell had a fucking shocking one. 23 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 turnovers, 2 of 8 from 3, one of which was a fucking horrible airball. But he also smashed in a like really deep swish bomb. It was wild. 8 of 22 overall. Just saying, man. Been saying it since halfway through last season. It's like, watch the efficiency. It's not there. 18 and 13 for Zestafel Tower and Rudy Gobert. I mean, sure, good on him. What do you reckon there, Rudy? I will try to block everything and I will fail because I'm not the defensive player I once was. Wow, it's pretty wild. Anyway, back to Donovan Mitchell real quick. Just the efficiency, man. Like, yeah, he's scoring 20.9 points a game. He's shooting 42% from the field total and 30% from three. Jesus. So he's gone 8 of 21 and 8 of 22 in his last two games. Ah, man. He had an 8 of 21 as well against San Antonio. 6 of 15 against the Thunder. I mean, oof. That's 40% over his last 5. Brutal. Anyway, Ricky Tiki Tata had 12, 4, and 4. Jay Crowder had 14 and 10. But the Jazz, man, they need an offensive punch, don't they? We'll talk about that later as well. For the Rockets, James Harden. Oh, fat boy Harden. 47 points. Crushed it. 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals, as well as a double step back jumper, which was one of the most egregious travels you'll ever see. We'll post the I think we did we tweet it? I can't remember. CP3 shot 3 of 10. Absolutely having a fucking torrid time of shooting at his Chris Paul. It's like, oh, I'm a hammy sort. I'm not sure if your hammy affects your jump shot there that much, Chris. Seriously, he is 11 of 42 over his last four games. He's gone 2 of 12, 3 of 10, 3 of 10, 3 of 10. That is fucking horrible. What are you doing, Chris? But Houston, you know, they won a couple. So there you go. He had 11 points, 9 assists in this one. PJ Tucker had 16. Gordo, Eric Gordon there, had 12. And Clint Capella had 14 rebounds, only 5 points. Old Swiss cheese over there. Utah dropped to 14 and 17. And Houston finally get above 500. They're 15 and 14. Nice one. Minnesota kicked the crap out of the Sacramento Kings. 132-105 in Minnesota. Dave Yeager just went, fuck it. I'm just to play you my starters for like the first quarter and maybe a little bit of the second. That's it. Seriously, he played Belly Bielitsa, Willie Cauley-Stein style, and Diazza Fox. 5-7 and 6 minutes each on a back-to-back. Buddy Hield only played 18 minutes, and he scored 21 points in that time. 5 of 10 from 3 as well. Started off on fire and then sat the rest of the way. Bogdanovic only had 10 minutes. So it was left to the bench to get shit-pumped, I guess. Yogi Ferrell had 16. Scal Labissiere had 9 and 5, and Harry Giles. It's like the Island of Misfit Toys, that bench. 13, nice. For the Wolves, there's 17 points for Andrew Wiggo Wiggins. And what is it, Maple Jordan? Cat had 14 and 14. Gorgie Deng, he had 15 and 8. 10 and 10. 10 points, 10 assists for Taj Jones. And 12 and 10 for Taj Gibson and his fucking magical shoe that he was trying to block shots with, which was amazing. Anyway, Sacramento now dropped to 16 and 14. Oh, yeah, there's also no El Jefe Teague in this one, battling a weird sort of ankle injury. 16 and 14 to Sacramento, 14 and 16. Flip it around, back it up and reverse it. That's Minnesota, 14-16. There's a bit of a punch on going on in OKC. OKC shit pumped the Bulls 121-96 in a bit of revenge for losing the other day in Chicago by 2 points, which is wild. Rusty gave Chris Dunn a little bit of a shove, and then Dunn shoved Rusty back pretty fucking hard. And then everyone jumped in, and there was lots of jawing and pushing and shoving and everything you get to expect from a current NBA fight. But Steven Adams was in the middle of this with Jeremy Grant and Robin Lopez. Oh, fucking Sideshow Bob over there. Grant and Lopez in particular were going at it, and Steven was like, oh, what did you say there, boo? Oh, that's not cool. This is my friend Jeremy. You can't say that to him, so I'm gonna fuck you up, bro. So that's kind of what he did, which was pretty neat. Basically almost shoved Robin Lopez, well, Jeremy Grant almost shoved him into the stands. It was great. But no one got tossed at that point. Then Lopez got tossed a little bit later for trying to start some more shit. So a lot of fracas, a lot of noise. Not much actually went on. But for the Bulls, no Zachy Cakes Levine, no Jabari Parker, no fucking hope. Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, had 16 points on 6 of 17 shooting. Ouch. 15 rebounds though. Not bad. Chris O'Dunn, he had 12 points, 7 assists, 4 turnovers. Not too bad. Fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world. 16 points and 5 turnovers. 11 points and 6 assists for old Mucka. Campaign, that's right. I reckon those handshakes with Rusty Westbrook give him fucking superpowers or something, because yeah, it usually sucks. Everyone else sucked in this game for the Bulls. They had 23 turnovers, and the Thunder just ran over the top of them. Rusty Westbrook had another triple-double, 13 points on 5 of 13 shooting. Kobe. 16 rebounds, 11 assists, and 5 steals. Unreal. 19 and 8 for Steven Adams, bro. When I'm not punching on with Robin Lopez, I like to score buckets pretty well, bro. Thank you. Dennis Schroeder. I am German Rondo. I scored 18 points. Jeremy Grant had 13 points and obviously got Robin Lopez tossed, so that was pretty good. Good game for Jeremy. Hamidou Diallo also got a fucking technical for hanging on the rim for like, I don't know why. This was one of the worst calls I reckon I've ever seen. He dunked it. It was a massive putback. And he hung on the rim as he was swinging, and then he let himself back down and jumped down with his hands out. And the ref was like, oh, nah, I reckon you pulled yourself up a little bit, bro. It's like, ref, have you ever fucking dunked, mate? Do you understand how the human body works? If he lets go of the fucking rim, he'd probably go flying and snap his neck, you dipshits. Fuck, man, these refs are going to pull their heads in, don't they? Anyway, Chicago, they now dropped to 7-24. OKC are 19-10. Nice one, OKC. Sitting pretty in third in the West. San Antonio beat the crap out of Philly and Big Simo, 123-96. This was a laugher. The Spurs held Joel Embiid to 13 points on 6 of 17 shooting. Oh, geez. 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Sure, Big Simo, he had an all right one. We'll talk about him in the stream. Player watch, JJ Redick at 16. Jimmy Butts stunk it up. 6 points on 3 of 13 shooting. Jesus. Moose Muscala had 11, hit 3 threes. And who else was there? Wilson! Chandler. Wilson! Chandler had 10, and so did Shake Milton. For the Spurs, they shot 56% in this. Wild. 9 of 23 from 3. 20 and 10 for LaMarcus Aldridge. DeMar DeRozan there. Also had 20 points, but added 7 assists. 21 for Gay Rudy. Bertie Bertans had 16 and 6 as well. And Patty Thrills wasn't bad. 2 of 4, all from 3. Ended up with 8 points. So Philly, they're now 20 and 12. San Antonio, 16 and 15. Looking all right too. Just, you know, they're sneaking around. They're over 500 again. They're... offense and defense is like perfectly balanced, which is like neither good nor bad. It's weird. Anyway, the Warriors beat Memphis 110-93. As mentioned at the top, no Mike Conley with his hammy. 15-6-6 for Marc Gasol. Because, you know, when you need to rely and lean on Marc Gasol, you know that he's never there. But he did get David Fizdale fired because, I don't know, it's his fault that Gasol sucks. I don't know. 20 points for Omri Caspi. Marshawn Brooks, not Dylan. He had 6 points. He's like, oh, I'm still here, man. This is sick. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. was pretty quiet. 3 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 of 6 from the field. He's had a little bit of a... it was a bit weird out there. He was just like very invisible at times, which I didn't expect. Warriors, 23 points for the coward, Kevin Durant. The dork, Steph Curry, had 20 as well. Klay Thompson, 16, along with Jonas Jerebko. And Draymond, 8 points on 2 of 8 shooting. He's a bit shitty with the old shooting of late, isn't he, Draymond? 7 points, 5 assists as well, but still. Come on, man. Pull your fucking finger out. 16 and 14 are Memphis now, and 21 and 10 finds the Golden State Warriors second in the West behind the Nuggets. And finally, Portland beat the LA Clippers 131-127 in LA. The Clips only snuck this one out, man. They gave up 42 points in the third quarter. And still... Portland sort of just lifted the foot off the gas a tiny bit, and but managed to just get it out thanks to a big game from Dame. He had 22 points in the third quarter, and we had dueling 39-point games. That's right, Dame had 39, and Tobias Harris, the never-nude Tobias, he had 39. That's a career high for him, too. Unreal. For the Clips, Gallo added 22 as well, 24 points for Shai Redder. Gilgeous Alexander, unreal. The Rook smashed it. We'll talk about him later. Montrezl, he had 15 points before getting tossed for a flagrant 2 on Nurk, which was probably not a flagrant 2. Kind of just hit him in the head on a rebound. It was weird. 10 points and 11 assists for Pat Bev. Just a weird one. The Clippers somehow managed to get up to 127. Portland's defense, man. Don't know what's going on there. The Blazers on top of Dame's 39. 27 for CJ. 20 points and 7 rebounds for Nurk. 13 for Don't Be Mo Hucklers. And the villain had 10 as well. Sauce got in there with a couple. But anyway, Clips are now 17 and 13, and so are the Blazers. So they're tied at 5 and 6 in the West. Nice one. All right, that's the rest of today. Let's get stuck into the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
Oh, that is a fucking knife, James Harden. How you going, mate? Oh, yeah, not bad, bro, not bad. Oh, I'm just going to drop in a game-sealing 3. Holy shit, that was wild. So, James Harden ends up with 47 points in this game. And it was a very, very, very handy 47 points. Because, as mentioned, no one else on that fucking Rockets team, dude, shit. So, he smashed it. 14 of 31 he shoots. 4 of 12 from the 3-point line, but has an amazing 15 of 16 free throws. So 47 points, 5 steals, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. Absolutely bloody smashed it, mate. It's just what he does now, apparently. Just all-round great shit from James Harden on ya. Look, also got away with the world's greatest / longest travel ever, which was pretty fucking funny. So look, just go to our Twitter and watch it. It's fucking hilarious. But the dagger three was unreal. 15 seconds left to seal it. Wild scenes there in Houston. He nails it. That's easily the approved performance of the night, even with the travel. It was funny as hell. All right, but what about, how's this one? Old mate, no mates for today.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Oh, who's got no mates today? Gee, do you reckon it's Al Duncan over there at ESPN? Oh, mate, I am ropeable about this. Have a listen.
What is Melo's legacy? National champion as a teenager, three-time Olympic gold medalist, top 20 scorer all time, all-star, all-NBA, all day, Melo, a sure-fire Hall of Famer.
That doesn't really mean much with names like Drazen Petrovic there.
Okay. Well, but Drazen Petrovic didn't leave his mark on the game like Melo did.
Whoa, okay. What the fuck are you talking about, lady? Oh my God, Al Duncan. She was definitely old mate, no mates today when she's out there talking shit about Drazen Petrovic without clearly knowing who Drazen Petrovic was. This fucking sucked. The fact that this is on ESPN or it's like an ESPN, like just wow. Just fucking wow. This has got nothing to do with Melo. I don't give a shit about that. But for someone to go, oh, but when names like Drazen Petrovic are in the Hall of Fame, I mean, like whatever. And oh, he didn't make his mark on basketball. Fucking what? I don't know. Do the names Dirk Nowitzki, Luka Doncic, anybody who's fucking European who's played in the NBA? Probably because of Drazen. He's still fucking thought of as a god in Europe. The fucking dude died when he was 28 as he was shredding in the NBA. And you're like, oh, Drazen Petrovic is in the fucking Hall of Fame. So, ooh. Of course, why would Melo get in there? It's not a hard thing to get into the Hall of Fame if Drazen My entire fucking thing makes... Look, it just seems like she doesn't know who Drazen Petrovic was, Googled Hall of Fame, found a name she didn't under-fucking-stand, and said it. Look, had Al Duncan actually said Dino Raja, I'm all like, eh, that's a fair argument. But fucking Drazen Petrovic... He was like a fucking EuroLeague champion many times over. He took teams to the fucking... He was in the Olympics. He was an absolute shredder. Comes to the NBA. He's tearing it up and fucking dies early. The fact that she was arguing with fucking people on Twitter about Fab Melo basically meant that she had no fucking clue what was going on about Drazen. And yeah, Al Duncan, your old mate, no mates, because you fucked up. Delete it. What the fuck are you doing? Stop embarrassing yourself. I didn't put you on this list. You put yourself on this list. All right, what about Spud of the Night in better news?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Look, Blake, mate, you end up with a triple-double, but a quadruple-double. Oh, that's got to spud it up. Look, 10 turnovers is pretty good, but 19 and... 19 points. That's fine. Good on you, mate. Pretty bad shooting, though. 4 of 13. 10 rebounds. 11 assists. 10 turnovers. But you're going to get Spud of the Night because of the two missed threes there, Blake. You were right there. It was open. Just to tie it up, missed them both. Absolutely brutal. Extra special mention goes to Jimmy Butts. 6 points on 3 of 13 shooting. Jesus. 0 of 3 from 3. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, minus 24 against the Spurs today. Brutal. And I mean, if you've got Jimmy Butts, Spurs seem like the ideal team for him to play against, right? Just go out there and go, Jimmy Butts, stop DeMar. And he's like, okay, man. But DeMar still had 20 and 7, and you got your asses kicked. Pantsing in the night. Look, I'm going to give this to Blake anyway, because he rammed on Giannis. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo was busy out there dunking on everybody else, but tonight Blake rammed on him. Pretty great. The ball even coming through the net bounced off Giannis. That's the absolute perfect doinker. Loved it. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball for today. Let's give it to a couple of rookies. DeAndre Ayton, 21 and 13, 8 of 14 shooting and smashed it in his first visit to MSG. And Shai Redder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 9 of 15 shooting for 24 points, 3 assists and 2 rebounds. absolutely fucking crushed it going up against the Blazers. I'm your Shy Redder. You're both better than Lonzo Ball and Trae Young for today. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yeah Nahs right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
It's Yeah Nah. We take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, will James Dolan ever sell the Knicks? Yeah Nah. Nah, come on, man. He just floated that idea out that in that giant ESPN fucking ball-tickling escapade that was masquerading as an article, just to basically to get people talk about him in a way that isn't primarily like, ugh, that fucking weird creep. It's like him going, ooh, maybe I'll sell it. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Isn't it weird? Look at me, I'm James Dolan. I might sell the Knicks, or maybe I won't. So fucking weird. He's such a creep, man. Such a weird loser as well. Like, banning fucking, like, Charles Oakley, yelling at fans who are, like, talking shit. I mean, he's clearly got the thinnest fucking skin in the world. He's like, oh, you gotta have a thick skin to be in this, like, you're the motherfucker keeps banning people from MSG and can't fucking laugh about, like, you know, them giving you shit. He's never going to sell the fucking Knicks. Come on, man. He just loves being talked about. And he's like, oh, no, I don't like being talked about. It's like, oh, yeah, so here, ESPN, write this giant fucking story on me, you idiot. Number two, is Billy Donovan a good coach and deserving of that fifth-year extension that the Thunder picked up today? Yeah, nah. Fuck. I mean... Nah, yeah, maybe. How do we not even know after 4 years? That's fucking wild. Also, it's been 4 years since they shit-canned Scott Brooks, which is wild to me. But at the same time, I have literally fucking no idea. It's like, yeah, the defense is good, but the defense was always pretty good under Scotty Brooks too. So has Billy Donovan really achieved there? He's let Rusty Westbrook just like run roughshod over the top of him the entire time. I guess he hasn't annoyed Rusty to the point where he's been fired, so that's good. I just don't know if he's that good, though. It's weird. What do you reckon? Let me know. Lonzo versus Diazza, De'Aaron Fox. This popped up as well. Like, who would you rather? Would people like, oh, I'd much rather have Lonzo Ball over De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, nah. Nah. Not even fucking close, mate. De'Aaron Fox is a fucking legend, and I love him. Lonzo Ball's a fucking spud. So, oh, look, he's really good at defense, man. Is he, though? Yeah, I don't know. Meaning, let's go into the actual yeah, nah. Will De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley be the next Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant in 5 years? According to Sacramento coach Dave Yeager, that's what he reckons. Yeah, nah, no! Settle the fuck down, Dave Yeager. That's two MVPs and a two-time finals MVP you're talking about. You need to go back to talking shit about your front office, because that's a rough one. And on that actual subject of the Kings, hey, are they actually good? They got shit pumped today, and it's like, yeah, nah. No, I don't know. I just don't know. They're so weird. Like, Buddy Hield is like, is he good? Fuck, maybe. He's not Steph Curry in your face, Vivek, but still, he's not bad. And De'Aaron Fox is pretty fucking good. So that's weird. But anyway, the Kings, before today's game, were three games above 500 for the first time since 2004 in the middle of December. That is absolutely wild. And just imagine if they hadn't have passed on the Rookie of the Year, Luka Doncic. They would be fucking terrifying. All right, it's time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I kind of like the idea of Jabari Parker on Utah. This got flooded out, I believe, by Kevin O'Connor, that giant fucking dork over there at the Ringer. People are like, oh, he's going to get dragged by Quinn Snyder because he doesn't play D, so he wouldn't fit on at Utah at all. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? Utah stink on offense. Get his Mormon ass out there and away we go. Like, fuck it. Just get Jim Fredette over here as well. Let's full Mormon it up. Mormon up. Let's do it. Jabari and Jimmer. This would be great. I mean, Jabari probably won't fucking play after two games. Same as Grayson Allen, who's been fucking yanked a bunch of times for getting beat in transition defense and just sort of like missing a rotation here or there. Quinn Snyder's like blown his fucking top. So he might actually stab Jabari. But at least Jabari, you know, big Mormon Jabari would be like, oh, you know what? Utah's pretty sweet, man. Don't mind it here. You might even get him on the cheap next year. Maybe you can teach him how to play defense. He is the guy, though, who once said they don't pay me to play defense, so I don't like his chances. But anyway, I kind of like just the idea of the Mormon being in Utah. Just, you know, nice and symmetrical. All right, not symmetrical is Outback Takehouse. Come on in to Outback. Today's special are 3-for-1 blooming onions. Old mate Jono chopped up about 40 of the buggers, and we've got a shit ton of them to go, because no one knows what the bloody hell they are in Australia. So come on in and get stuck in. And today's flame grill take is ESPN's ball-tickling James Dolan profile was 100% geared towards Dolan getting a better valuation of the Knicks and the Rangers and nothing else. That way he can leverage those valuations into more power with the NBA and the city of New York, and also show KD and Kyrie that they should come to the Big Apple. Only at Outback. I'm not sure if that's that flame grilled. That's not that hot. It just seems like this was the Knicks clearly going, oh, fuck, man, we're going to show everybody we're not an absolute shit show clown car of a franchise. Jimmy, out you go, out in front of everybody. And he's like, oh, man, I just want to play my horrible blues music and be a fucking weirdo. Nope. They rolled him out there just to show that KD and Kyrie, or show to Kyrie and KD and all the other prospective free agents this year that everything's good in Knicks land. And they used ESPN as a tool. Yeah, sure. Didn't really work because he just came off looking like a fucking weirdo. Anyway, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch right after this one.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Manny Dally Vadova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Australia. It's Australian Player Watch. Let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Jonah Bolden in their game against the Spurs today. Big Simo had 16 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. A lot of sixes there. 7 of 10 shooting. Was somehow a minus 27 in the game, though. Spurs, man, crushed him. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, got out there for 9 minutes. Didn't cover himself in glory. 0 points, 0 of 2 from the field, both from 3. 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, but did have 2 blocks. On you, Jonah. It's pretty good, mate. Jingling Joe Ingles in the loss to Houston. He went 2 of 6 from the field for his 5 points. 6 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 of 4 from 3. The shooting's just dropped off for Jingler. It's a rough one, man. I mean, you expect Joe Ingles just to bounce back because he's the world's greatest shooter, but he's shooting 31% from 3 over his last 5 games. Oh no, 25% from 3 over his last 5 games. That's just not great, considering he's basically shooting 50% most of last year. Tough one. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, in his 20 minutes on the floor, he had 1 of 6 shooting. Jesus! For 4 points, 0 of 3 from 3. Threw in 2 steals, 1 rebound, and 1 assist. Kung Fu, Thon Song. Thon McCurr versus Detroit, only 6 minutes. Made a pretty crazy defensive impact, though, when he was out there. And then for some reason, oh, anti-Australian bias, Coach Spuds Buds over there in fucking Milwaukee, you know, didn't play him again. 6 minutes, he had 2 points, 1-1 from the field, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. What are you doing, Spuds? You're killing me. Paddy Thrills Mills, pretty good. 8 points, 2-4 from the field, all from 3, added 3 assists, 1 steal, 2, oh, 1 rebound, 2 steals, sorry, and a block. Nice one. Pretty good. What else do we do on Tuesdays? We always play Where in the World Is, and today it is Brock Modem. Ah, that's right. He's in Andalou Efes in Turkey, motherfucker. The big banana bending X36er, averaging 9.8 points, 2.8 rebounds, 0.6 assists, and 0.1 blocks. Yeah, he's not many rebounds or blocks for the big fella. Shooting 53% from the field, though. 45.9% from 3 on 2.2 attempts a game. Not bad. Last 2 EuroLeague games have been a couple of rough ones, though. 2 points, 1 rebound in 7.5 minutes versus Real Madrid. And then 4 points, 3 rebounds in 6.5 minutes versus Olympiacos. Olympiacos? Yeah, that's it. And but he's smashing in the domestic league, though. Playing next to Shane Larkin there in Andalou Efes in Turkey. Oh, tiny hand Shane Larkin. Nice. It's pretty good. So there you go. That's what Brock Modem's up to at the moment. Hanging out in Turkey while on his time all around, you know, Europe. It's great. Having a great time. Mark Bradke, sweaty, hairy guy of the week this week, goes to John Lua. sweaty, hairy bloke if you ever saw one. And he was going up against Brook Lopesch today as well. That's a lot of sweary, hairy blokes in the Milwaukee-Detroit game. Jesus. But John Lua, just, I never thought he was that hairy. And then you're like, oh, hang on a second. Yeah, nah. You get like that sort of close-in one. You're like, yeah, he's got, you know, a bit of a neckbeard kind of vibe to him. It's, yeah, not good. I don't know if he's got any body hair, but his neckbeard just sucks. John Lua, you're killing me. Anyway, so there you go. He got fucking sweaty, considering he only played like 5 seconds today too. So anyway, there you go. That's the Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week. Nice one, mate. All right, let's get stuck in. Let's just go straight into it, shall we? It's the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Absolutely loved it. Patty Mills tweeted out the NBL tweet of Andrew Gazy Gaze talking about the Indigenous game becoming an annual round for the NBL. Gazy said, I absolutely love it. Anytime we can provide recognition to the Indigenous plight, it is a privilege of playing a game that we can be a part of a progress to educate. Nice one, Gazy. Patty tweeted that out and also added, gotta admire the passion in this answer. Hell of a response from the legend himself at Andrew Gaze. Hand claps. Emoji. Love it. On you, Patty. Great stuff, mate. And on you, Gazy. You absolute legend. And let's just get stuck into it, shall we? Let's do some game previews for tomorrow. Game previews. Game previews. What do you think there, Inadvertent Bane?
I believe that it's lucky that there's only 4 games tomorrow, considering you have to go to the hospital, well, have to go back to the doctor about your broken finger.
Oh, tell me about it, mate. Yeah, busting my finger on the weekend. How good's that? Anyway, we've only got 4 games tomorrow, so let's have a look at the odds and do some picks. The way we finish off every show here. Well, you know, that and a bit of other idiocy a little bit later. Let's do it. NBA matches. Let's look at the handicap betting. Pacers are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are 12.5 point favorites at home. This is a playoff rematch, don't forget. but Dally's out there, so look, I'm going to take the Cavs plus 12.5. It is a lot of points. And yeah, the Pacers are very good, but the Pacers aren't the sort of team that just blow the fucking doors off a team, you know? So they'll eke it out, they'll win, but Cavs would probably keep it to about 10 or 11. That'd feel more fair. So 12.5 for Cavs, I'll take that. The Lakers visit the Brooklyn Nets. They are 2-point favorites on the road against the streaking Nets. And look, the Lakers will have been out at the club the day before, so they might start out a bit slow, but I expect them to beat the Nets. Just a little bit more talent. You might get a 40-point game from D'Angelo Russell playing against his old mates over there in the Lakers. Better probably come on 40 shots like Kobe. So I'll take the Lakers minus 2. I think they'll win that. Washington go to Atlanta. I will not be watching a fucking second of this game. Hawks, 4.5-point underdogs at home against the Wiz. Wiz made the trade for Trevor Ariza for no one knows what fucking reason. Anytime you can trade the 23-year-old swingman for the 33-year-old swingman, don't do it. Wiz are like, nah, man, we're going to do it, bro. Fuck it. Right. Wiz, 4.5-point favorites in this. I'll take the Wiz. I think they're going to keep the winning feeling alive against the Hawks. And then finally, we have an absolute rip snorter of a game between Dallas at Denver. And Denver, 5-point favorites at home. Does everybody realize that there's like no players left in Denver? I'm going to take the Mavs plus 5 because, look, Joker and Jam and Jamal Murray are good, but they're still missing Paul Thrillsap, Gary the Dartsman Harris, and like half of the rest of their fucking lineup. So, look, unless Luka gets into that legal weed up there in Colorado, I don't know. Give me Dallas plus 5, man. I'll take that in a heartbeat. Even if they lose, it's not going to be that by that much, is it? Nice. All right, well, we'll wrap all those up tomorrow because that's it for today. We'll be back with all the usual ridiculous tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Insta. We're all over it during the games. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcast. We are now on Spotify, so jump all over that. Spotify is awesome. I actually love listening to all my shit through Spotify, so that and iTunes Podcast. So get around it, would you? Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, iTunes, rate and review us. Tell them, mate. Get all over it, mate. Huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music, though. But go check out their new band, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia right now. Their new single, I've Been Broken. Go vote for that in the Triple J Hottest 100, would you? House Hats, I've Been Broken. Also, thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, iOS, X-Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, vote for them in the Hottest 100. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that is it for today. It's been an awesome Tuesday. I mean, for a dude who can't use a finger, I'm feeling alright. Anyway, so we're going to close out with a new Jingles HR, and he's got a very, very special holiday message for you all. And we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, horses! G'day, you jingler jokers. Just Joe Ingles here. Just stopping from dropping threes and putting popcorn in Grace and Ellen's car and swinging by for a bit of advice from your friendly HR department. And look. I know we usually do questions here at Jingles HR, but this week's a bit special because it's what we in the HR department like to call the non-denominational, gender-conforming, quasi-religious celebration period. Oh yes, we love it. You might know it as a holiday season, you might call it Christmas, you might call it whatever you are, but in the HR department, it is the non-denominational, gender-conforming, quasi-religious celebration period. So, look, we all here at Jingles HR just want to encourage everyone to make sure they have a great non-denominational, gender-conforming, quasi-religious celebration period. And I, I love a laugh. I'm Joe Ingles, mate. That's what I do. I know it's a really fun time of year, but just a couple of quick pieces of advice for you. And look, no matter how much Cheryl from the office might be giving you the eyeball from across the room, I'll tell you, don't do anything at the holiday party. Just don't do it. The office party, you just can't do it. Just don't do it. Come on, you can be better than that. Do it at the thing after, whatever. Just don't do anything weird. Don't do anything wrong. Make sure it's all good. Just don't do it at the party. Because then HR's involved and it's a mess. And look, I love a beer as much as I love a double shot flat white. But as your favorite HR manager, I just want to say, don't go overboard on a beers. At least at the party. I mean, you can do whatever you do after. I mean, and here's a tip. Use the party as a warm up. Then go out with your mates later. But just make sure none of us HR folks are around or management. Or if you are in management, just make sure there's no employees around and you can do what you want. Just don't make sure that it's like, it's all above board. That's all I ask. That's all I ask here at HR. That's all I want. So basically all I'm saying is have fun. Don't do anything crazy. You can be as silly as you want. Just keep it all clean and above board so my HR department doesn't get dragged in at the start of January and has to fix a whole bunch of holiday party messes, you know? So, do that, look after yourselves, look after your mates, and have a great non-denominational, gender-conforming, quasi-religious celebration period. And we'll send you all out a bit of a card from Jingles HR, won't you? All right, so I've been Joe Ingles. Get a dog up ya, and have a great non-denominational, gender-conforming, quasi-religious celebration period.